Chapter 5. 1 Peter, chapter 5. The title of the message tonight is, Where Do We Find Humility? I've been talking about humility and pride. Where do we find humility? And we're going to start off with 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 7. First Peter chapter 5, 5 through 7. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, I have prayed, as I mentioned this morning, I have prayed for the Lord to help me be humble. You see, I'm having trouble finding true humility. I don't know if you are, but I am. Believe it or not, we are not built with humility in us. We are built with pride. It's in us. It's part of the sin nature. And this passage in 1 Peter 5 gives us a very practical relationship that we're to have with our brothers and sisters in Christ. But it is not a formula for finding humility. No, it's a matter of submission on the part of the younger person to the supposed wisdom of the aged. So we are instructed to be clothed with humility. It's expected if a person becomes older that during the time they live, they gain some wisdom. Okay, you can laugh. But it's true. Look at our president. Look at all the wisdom he's gained. Now, we're talking about in the church. So, where do we get humility? I've been asking the Lord that question. Lord, I can't buy it. I can't find it because of the pride that is a part of my life and in my heart. And so, folks, I've been struggling with this for weeks. This is not just a one-week thing. I have been struggling this for a long time, knowing what the Bible says. So, you know, being humble, in a way, is sort of an oxymoron. We're loaded with pride that we are not even aware of. And it's a little like weeding a garden. When we go in and try and bring that pride out, pull up that pride and get it out of our life, we have to be very careful not to disturb the good plants. I know my brother and I used to be sent out when we lived on a farm to weed the garden. And we took maybe 3/4 weeds and 1/4 vegetables, particularly the ones we didn't like. Okay. Dad would say, did you weed the garden today? Oh, yes. And mother would come in and say, where's the carrots? You know? Now, I've done a lot of reading trying to find a source for humility. I've looked at a lot of commentaries, not just today, not just today's authors. The one author where I did find some things that I'd like to use tonight, I'd like to share with you, comes from the 17th century, Matthew Henry. And he was a great Bible scholar. God gave him a very great gift. And so he made some statements about this, and I'd like to share some of them with you. One of the comments that he made regarding verse 5 of 1 Peter 5 was this: where God gives grace to be humble, he will give wisdom, faith, and holiness. To be humble and subject to our reconciled God will bring greater comfort to the soul than the gratification of pride and ambition. Let me read that one more time so that you might get this, what he's saying. He's talking about humility and pride. Where God gives grace to the humble, he will give wisdom, faith, and holiness. To be humble and subject to our reconciled God will bring greater comfort to the soul than the gratification of pride and ambition. Just as pride is a heart attitude, so is humility. And the two cannot coexist, as I said this morning, not in the same soul. You're either going to have pride there or you're going to have humility there. And about the time we get proud that we've gotten rid of our pride, we haven't done it. Devil's sneaky. He is. And so, the Holy Spirit began to show me something that made me stop and consider the truth about part of my life's attitude. I'm just sharing this with you. You may be experiencing some of the same things. I believe that you and I have a bigger problem than we realize. I believe that. I believe that we have a bigger problem with pride than any of us realize. Our pride is involved in everything that we are concerned about. Let me say that again. Our pride is involved in everything that we are concerned about. Because God is the one who's supposed to be taking care of it, and we are concerned because we are trying to take care of it. And it doesn't work that way. The last part, look at verse 7 of 1 Peter 5. I hope you've got your Bibles open there. It says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting, well, at least the part of your care on him. There are a few things I need to take care of. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Now, I started to make a statement in Sunday school this morning, and I stopped because I knew what this message was about tonight. It has to do with taking our own part or doing our part. And people, that is pride. to think that we can do anything that God does not want done. To think that we can do what God needs to do or what God should do. And if we have care, if we are concerned, then we are exercising pride. We are afraid that we are not good enough to do the job. We get concerned. We're going to be embarrassed. We're going to fail. That's pride. And so we have a lot more pride than we might ever suspect. And we need to replace that with humility. But where do you get it? Where do you go to get humble? I made this statement this morning. I'm going to make it again. Take note of what I'm about to say. When you're concerned about your personal cares, that is pride on your part that you can fix any problem. Oh, I can fix that plug for you. Pride. I think I can fix that plug for you. Not full of pride. Maybe the Lord will help me fix that plug for you. Whole new approach, whole new attitude. When you have family care, that's pride on your part because you think you can fix that too. When you have cares for the present, when you have cares for the future, when you have cares for yourself, when you have cares for someone else, when you have cares for the church, that's all pride on our part, thinking that we could have any part in fixing any of those situations. You cannot change your child's heart. No matter how much you love them, no matter how much you care, no matter how hard you try, you cannot fix your child's heart. There's only one person in the entire universe who can do that, and that is God. And he's the only one. I can't save anybody, neither can you. God does that. And so when we are witnessing to somebody, we need not be afraid. We simply submit to the words that the Holy Spirit gives us to share. And usually it's quoting this book. But God is the one who has to do the work. And it's pride on our part that we're afraid. Don't you realize how much pride is a part of our life? And everything that I read in the Bible that talks about improving our relationship to God says we're to be humble. And we have to realize how much pride we have. We have more pride than anybody can imagine. Now, I hope that it doesn't bother you that you're not in a position to fix things. Okay? That bothers some people. They think they can fix it. And if they can't fix it, that really bothers them. How proud and arrogant we are to think that we are able to do the job of God. As long as we have that kind of pride, we are not going to experience humility. And it's humility that I hope we are all looking for. Do you recognize those feelings as pride on your part? Do you? Do you realize that's pride? Now, we are not fatalists. There are certain groups of people around the world who are fatalist. If you've ever lived or been in a Muslim country, they are fatalist. They believe that whatever's going to happen to them is going to happen no matter what. If they are to die, if they're going to die at 5 o'clock, they're going to die. They believe they're going to die at 5 o'clock, and they also believe that if it's not their time to die, they will not die. So when you're driving, you have to watch out for them because they never look. They simply step out in front of you. I've had them do it. Now they're fatalists. They think, okay, he can't kill me with that car because it's not my time to go. My wife and I were driving one night, and there was a whole string of people across the road, men walking arm in arm. They had the whole road blocked. And they could hear me coming, and they just continued to walk arm in arm. And so I stopped the car, and I backed up. And I gunned the engine, and I revved it up, and I took off. I don't know how much barbed wire fence they took out, but they gave me room. They didn't want to die. We're not fatalist. We are not regimented to live our lives without free will. We all have free will. God has given that to us as a gift to be used for Him. But many times we use it for us. That's not what He gave it for. He gave it to be used for Him. And so we have to understand that we have choices. All of us. God has a plan for each one of us. But the plan includes us doing things by faith, not by pride. And so much of the time, we do the things we do not by faith, but by pride. And it hit me a while back when I asked Connie, "What can I fix you for breakfast?" I didn't ask God, "What should I fix her for breakfast?" And, "Oh, I'd like an egg." Okay, I can do an egg. Never did I ask God, "Could you help me do an egg?" I was looking at me. I was counting on me, not on God to lead me. Now there's very subtle nuance in that. We all do this. We all know what we can do, what kind of a job we can do. Oh, I can fix this. But is that God's will for us? Or is that pride? Have we talked to God to see if we're supposed to be working on that? Or is there something else God wants us to do? We are here for a purpose. He saved every one of you so that you could tell other people about the gospel and what Jesus Christ did for them. And as you tell them, then the Holy Spirit can work in their hearts. How many people do you tell a day? I don't want to answer this question. But do you tell more than one person a day? Do you even tell one person a day some days? You say, well, I don't get out. I don't have a chance to talk to somebody. How about making a chance? How about getting out there and making it happen under the leadership of God's Holy Spirit? There are people you can talk to till you're blue in the face. They will never accept Jesus Christ because their hearts are not ready and they have no desire. But there are people out there tonight who need Jesus Christ as Savior. They are looking for an answer and nobody is giving it to them. They're looking to the situation within our country, and they don't know what they're going to do about it. Fact of the matter is there's very little they can do about it. Unless God intercedes, we have no chance. And to think we do is pride. So, I've got a question. How do we get rid of the pride and replace it with humility? That's the title. Where do we find humility? How do we get rid of pride and replace it with humility? That was not intended to be a trick question. But if you think about the fact, if you think you can get rid of pride, that's pride. Fact of the matter is, folks, we cannot get rid of pride. But it can be replaced with humility. But we're not the ones who can do it. We have to have some help. We have to have some help. So, do we have any part in becoming humble? Okay, yes, we do. If we're seeking humility in our hearts, we will have to do whatever it takes to get rid of the pride in our hearts. And this, folks, I'm going to answer the question, where do we get humility? I'm going to answer it right now in this next little passage or the next few passages. If we're seeking humility in our hearts, we will have to do whatever it takes to get rid of the pride in our hearts. Remember, pride and humility, they cannot coexist. If we choose not to do that, God can humble us. But in order to do that, he has to crush our pride. He has to crush us. He has to crush everything about us. There are other ways. To avoid the necessity of God being forced to crush our pride in order to be able to use us, one of the things, the first thing we have to abandon is self-sufficiency. That's a hard one, folks. You've been taught. You were taught in school to be self-sufficient. You've been taught on your job to be self-sufficient. You've been taught by the world system, to be self-sufficient when God says just the opposite. Remember the verse we started off with? Likewise, ye younger, submit unto the elder. If you want to get rid of your pride, you're going to have to submit to God. You're going to have to submit completely to God. And many people are very afraid to do that because they don't want God taking them where they don't think they want to go. It's like, we've got a grandson, you've met him. There are certain foods he says, I don't like. I don't eat that. And I ask him, have you ever eaten it? No. But I don't like it. We're the same way. We're afraid of what God might do to us, where he may take us, what he might do with us. And before we know or experience it, we don't like it. And that's our pride fighting what God wants from us. In order to have the kind of relationship that with God that we really need to have, we'll have to do a lot more praying and talking to God's Holy Spirit as we look for him to guide us through every experience of life. Now, that means we got to be talking to God all the time. Remember what Paul said? Now, I believe Paul was a humble man. I believe he was. I believe he had true humility because he wasn't proud. He wasn't too good to get stoned. He wasn't too good to get whipped. He wasn't too good to get thrown in jail. He had surrendered to God's will completely. He was willing to let God be God in his life. And he made a statement. Simple little statement. That some of these little statements in the Bible are the ones that get to my heart. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. We need to go about in a prayerful attitude. That begins to bring humility because we are looking to submit to God. We're looking to submit everything we do to God. There are times when there's nothing wrong with our wanting to do something. It's not immoral. It's not a violation of a commandment. But it may not be God's will for us. God may be saying no in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. But we don't see anything wrong with it. We're going to go ahead and do it. Pride. Pride. And folks, I doubt there's many people in this room that haven't done that. So in order to have that kind of relationship, we're going to have to live in complete submission to the Holy Spirit. We are going to have to live in submission to the Holy Spirit to place us in the place where God wants us each day. Now, from the time we get up in the morning until the time we go to bed at night, we'll have to pray our way through every day. We're going to have to pray our way through each encounter. Oh, here comes someone toward me. Do I talk to them about Jesus? What do I say? Most of us don't live our lives that way right now. We have our own plans. We are going to fulfill our own plans. And we try. And sometimes in the providence of God, we are not permitted to complete our plans. God wants us to submit to Him for everything. Will God give you a place to live? Huh? Will He? If you submit totally to God, are you going to have to live in the woods? And part of us is saying, no, I can't do that. I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that. But if we submit to God, He may have something for us to do in those woods. Think about it. We're limiting God with our desires. We're limiting God with our pride, that we know what needs to be done, that we know what kind of a life we're supposed to live. We know where we're supposed to live it. Will God feed you? There's a blessing box out there. I know we can get some food. And God has moved in the hearts of some of you folks to do that. And you are feeding people. Because you're willing to submit that little part of your life to Him. That's not what He wants. He wants all of it. He wants all of your life submitted to Him. And when you do that, there's no place for pride. We're starting to zero in on where we get humility. Will He furnish what is fit for us? Some of you, He wants to give certain things. He wants to give certain benefits, certain comforts, certain luxuries. He wants to do that. And there's nothing wrong with those things when they come from God, when we're not taking them for ourselves. When we submit to God to take care of those things. If we humbly attend on Him and lay care of providing for us upon His wisdom and love, He will meet our every need. Our duty plainly is to be sober, to govern both the outward and the inward man by the rules of temperance. New term. You've not heard me use that term before. The rules of temperance. Be steadfast or solid by faith. If you are fighting a battle, and life is a battle, if you are fighting a battle, you cannot do it in quicksand. You cannot do it in a marsh where there's no solid ground under you, because you're going to be too busy trying to stay upright and keep from drowning or falling into the marsh to do any battle at all. And so if we're going to be involved in a battle, we've got to do it on firm or solid ground. And that solid ground is called faith. That's what our life is to be built on. Faith, not in us, That's what pride is. That's what causes the pride. We have faith in us. We are to submit. We're to submit to Him. We're to trust Him to provide everything we need to exist, to get through this life. What are we looking for? What are we planning on? I hope we're all planning that when this life is over, we're going to go to be with Him. I know none of us want to take a shortcut. We've got plans. But what if God has plans? Now, I just used a term that I have not used before. The rules of temperance. The rule of temperance. Now let's think this through. All of this book, the entire Bible, fits together. Dovetails as we go through it, and we learn more things as we're going through the minor prophets. We're seeing how some of the things that Jesus said had to do with the minor prophets. And so we're learning things. But it all fits together. So, let's go to Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, that's where submission comes in, temperance. The last part of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And Paul says, and against such there is no law. Against the rule of temperance. What is the rule of temperance? The rule of temperance is be steadfast by faith. In Genesis chapter 5, verses 22 through 24, let me read what that says. Genesis. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And then the verse we're really interested. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now I want to read one more verse out of Genesis. Genesis 6, 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. This was before Jesus Christ. This was before most people. Are we walking with God? A minute ago, I used an expression. This expression comes from Matthew Henry. He used it back in the 17th century. The rules of temperance. Temperance means self-control. Temperance is the last fruit of the Holy Spirit given in Galatians 5, 23. And here's a truth that you may or may not be ready for. There can be no self-control as long as there is pride. If there is pride, self-control is just gone. You say, how can that be? Think about it. What do they put at the checkout in most stores? stuff that, you know, you might want to just reach down and grab one and put it on the counter and eat it when you get out, okay? Because we all have physical appetites. We all have things we like. Some of us like chocolate. Some like nuts. Some like both. It's called Snickers. But they put that there for a reason. Not because there wasn't another shelf to put it on. Because of the lack of temperance on the part of most of us. And why aren't we temperate? Well, I deserve that. That's not going to hurt me. That's going to be pretty good. And knowing we don't need that. I love to watch people shopping when they're checking out ahead of me to see how much extra stuff they put in the buggy. Is this hitting home for somebody? As long as we have pride, we cannot have temperance. That's why I've been having such a battle in my life, trying to be temperate, trying to have self-control. And being disappointed with myself. None of you would ever understand that. But being disappointed with myself because I cannot control certain parts of my life. And the thought that I can control parts of my life is pride. It's pride. There's no other name for it. So, what are the rules of temperance? When Matthew Henry used the expression, rules of temperance, he was making his reader aware of a set of rules that makes temperance possible to complete the filling of the fruit of the Spirit. I think that the reason that I have such a problem with temperance or self-control is that I didn't realize there were rules. Does anybody here know what the rules of temperance are? No? Yes, you do. The rules of temperance are the rules we find in this book. That's nowhere in this book does it promote pride. It promotes humility. It promotes surrender. It promotes submission. Not to our pride, but to God's holiness, to the Holy Spirit's leading and wanting to have control of our lives. And that is where we are going to find humility from Him. There's an awful lot of teaching about humility. And there's a lot of teaching in the 8th chapter of Romans. Let me just read the first, I'm going to read the first 11 verses. We're running out of time, but this is important. Romans 8, 1 through 11. You know some of these verses. You have them memorized. But listen to what they're saying. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free of the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might fulfill in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, and he does. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Every one of us here tonight have the ability to become humble. But we have to get rid of us. Paul said he died daily. I didn't understand that fully. But he means he dies to self daily. And we have to learn. And folks, we have to learn to do that. There are times when I realize what the scripture is really saying. And at a time like that, I feel so dumb. The rules of temperance are the rules of God that were brought into our life by the indwelling of God's Holy Spirit. Those are the rules of temperance. It's that simple. They're there. We just have to keep them. We just have to be willing to submit our free will to God. It's a very simple statement to make. It's a very simple thing to think about. So why don't we do it? Because there's something else living in us. It's called pride. And when we see it, we need to pull it out by the roots and get rid of it. Your life is a garden. You've got a chance to weed it, to get rid of the weeds, keep the good stuff. It's up to you and your free will. Now, do you submit that to God? Do you submit that to the Holy Spirit? Or do you continue to live your life for you? Well, I tithe every week. Okay, so what? That's work. That's a work. We're looking at an attitude. We're looking at an attitude of heart. And right now, what I find in my own heart is that there's so much pride that I'm having difficulty finding humility, but I know now where to find it. I yield to the Holy Spirit and let him direct my life. Now that will happen on your knees, either physically at a place like this, or on the front seat, row of seats if you can't get on your knees for whatever reason. But it's going to be on your knees that you find humility and that you are able to weed out the pride. We're out of time. I've got a whole page left. I'm going to have to go at it, folks. We've got to finish this. The real problem that I have comes to not walking always with God, but walking sometimes by myself in this old world. No wonder we can't seem to be completely temperate. No wonder we can't seem to be humble. No wonder we are filled with pride. We have not submitted completely to God. Not completely. We're still hanging on to the lordship of our life. Are you willing to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? And in order to do that, you are going to have to humble yourself, get rid of the pride, and let Him take control. Now, knowing to do the right thing and doing it are two different things. The question that God wants you to answer is this: will you surrender your walk to God? Will you surrender your walk to God? And if each of us will admit to the truth, we're walking in our own wisdom and our own strength most of the time, because we are not prayerfully walking, yielding our will, our free will, to the Holy Spirit. One more question. When you confront a crisis, what is your reaction? Do you respond by fretting or worrying or panicking? If you respond that way to any situation, you are responding in pride, because you think you can do something about it. And that's not your job. That's God's job. We are His children. He is taking care of us if we let Him. We're given a command in 1 Peter 5:6. We are commanded by the Word of God to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. To humble is to submit. Submit ourselves to God in everything that is needed. Have you done what God has commanded? Romans 12:3. For I say through the grace given to me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. I trust that each one of you understand that thinking of yourself more highly than you ought is pride. And God hates it. So, we started our message for tonight with a question: where do we find humility? We find humility in surrender to the power and leading of God's Holy Spirit. That's where we find it. The Spirit has all the same attributes that Jesus had, all the same attributes that God the Father has, and one of those attributes is humility. As created human beings, we show nothing but pride. As born again, regenerated, saved souls, we need to surrender that pride, the pride of life, and take up the humility of the Spirit. The Spirit is not in any way proud. He's humble, and he's available to every one of us to share that humility with us as we surrender to his leading. It tells us Enoch walked with God, Noah walked with God. Walking by faith is simply walking by prayer. And if we walk by prayer, humility will come. Humility, pride. Which one will we live by? Father, thank you for giving us your word, giving us the answer to the questions we have, for the things we seek. Father, thank you that we have had this time to study pride and humility. And tonight, Father, help each one of us to submit to the power of the Holy Spirit, that he might remove the pride from our life, that others might see the humility of Jesus Christ in our lives. Thank you, Father. Help us now to do what your word has told us to do. And may we be successful because of the power of the Holy Spirit working through us. And we will praise you, Father, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.